Thank you for being here today. My sermon is very simple, but yet it's extremely complicated, and let me explain why. I believe the people of God are going to live for eternity. I believe that Scripture teaches God has always had a people. Sometimes those people have not always accomplished the task that God wanted them to accomplish. They've not always represented Him properly. But yet God has still had a people. And God has a people today. And somewhere in recent days, Paul Detlef, in conversation or comment somehow, mentioned the words forward forever. I don't remember the circumstance of that, but I thought that's a good sermon. That's a good title. And especially as we've come here in the Chatsworth Church to recognize and consecrate church leadership for the next 2 years, that just seemed to fit together to me. Forever forward or forward forever. Either way, it sounds really good. 1 Peter chapter 2, if you have not turned there yet, would you do so for me? 1 Peter chapter 2. It is simple in the sense that the Bible describes God's people in a particular way. But when I make an application of this, it just doesn't always seem to fit. Please let me explain. As we read here in 1 Peter, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." I've thought about this a lot in the context of my own walk with God and my own religious experience. Do you ever find yourself asking God, "Why do you love me?" Do you ever have an identity crisis? Does it ever cross your mind that you might not make it to heaven? Does it ever occur to you that it seems like other people have the great blessings and somehow as God is distributing those blessings, you are left out? Taking the mask off today, I don't pray for the same things that I used to pray for. And I think it's because, I want to think it's because, and I know I should think it's because of spiritual maturity. I still pray, Tim, for missionaries, and I pray for call porters. I pray for Cahutta Springs. I pray for the hospital. I pray for the general conference. I pray for our conference. Not each time I pray, but I tried to spend an hour praying this morning, and I still had things I wanted to talk about with God. I read this text right here, and in the context of leadership, he says, "But you are a chosen generation." That means a lot of people, right? "A royal priesthood." Not all priests are holy by our explanation of holy. But to be a believer in Christ, go ahead and smile, Donald. It's okay. It's okay. But to think about being a priest, to me, a priest holds an extremely accountable position before God. Even in definition, the word priest means a bridge. Bridge between humanity and God. And yet he says here, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Today when I pray, I think my prayers, my personal prayers, have changed. I find myself walking through my house, and many of you have been there, and it's probably a prayer that some of you pray. So simple. God, help me. God, bless me. God, I don't understand. Yet I believe. I was telling the story the other day of a new star they've discovered. If the Earth is the size of a BB, now just think about this, and the state of Texas is covered with BBs 2 feet deep. Remember now, the Earth is the size of the BB. And all the state of Texas covered 2 feet deep in BBs. That's how large this new star that's been discovered is. So in the great universe, the Earth itself is just a tiny speck. And Chatsworth, Georgia, is even a smaller speck. And my house in Calhoun is even a more smaller speck. And then put myself in one of the rooms of my house, and in all the vastness of God's big universe, that's very small. And I pray, God, help me. There's no question in my mind that God chose me, that God took me from a different direction of life and established me in ministry. But I don't always see it that way. One of the most difficult things, and you try to do this, is to describe yourself the way other people see you. You know all about yourself that other people are not aware of, except maybe your spouse. And here's a text that says, God, in all of his infinite wisdom, chooses you. He consecrates you. He proclaims that you are a royal priesthood. Now, some of us here in this room, we have practices that we don't think are right. Some of us here in this room make lifestyle choices that we know are not the best choices. And as we have commented in previous meetings here, most of us are extremely stubborn. We don't like to be told that we should change. We don't like to be told that we need help. I just know if you spend some time alone with God, that conviction will come all by itself. In my message today, I want you to just try to grasp the idea of how God sees you. When God looks at you, who does He really see? Does He see you in all of your past failures? Does He see you where you are now? Or does He see you in eternity? I think God sees us in the past and in the present and in the future. And yet in all of that vision, He's able to say, I want you. I have chosen you. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy people. And then you think to yourself, God, I'm not holy. Well, even today on the Sabbath, I may do something that's not appropriate on the Sabbath. God sees you as a holy person. I'm using today my newest Bible. It's the Andrews Study Bible. Any of you have that? I know some of you do because I've seen it. In the comment here on the bottom of page 629, when it speaks about a royal priesthood, it says that the Old Testament priests were established, among other things, to teach the statutes of God out of Leviticus 10. They were established to bless others. Part of their job was to offer sacrifices. If I'm interpreting this correctly, if I'm asking God to help me, if I am asking God to give me wisdom, God has a choice to make. God can say, I will bless you, I will honor you, I will establish you, because I want you to do these things. I want you to teach people my word. I want you to use your life, your resources in teaching, training other people to bless others. I want you to serve as a bridge between humanity and me. That's what God would be thinking. When God sees you, He sees everything that's wrong with you. Yes, He does. But God does not see that as a handicap. Not everyone is a preacher. Not everyone is a pastor. Not everyone is a teacher. And not everyone is even equipped to work with children. In my ministry, if you notice, I have avoided purposefully the times when people volunteer publicly in a large meeting to do certain jobs. Have you noticed that? 12 years plus here as pastor, I have tried to avoid that. Because I know sometimes the heart of a person does not match the gifts they have. And it's difficult in a public situation to say, I'm sorry, but you would be very sorry at that job. But would you do something else? We are gifted of God to do certain things. In under the umbrella of being chosen and being a priesthood and doing the work of God are those things that come in a very, very delicate niche that really need to be served by people who have that particular gift. And as our nominating committee has met and filled the assignment given to them by the church, we have leadership chosen to serve this congregation for the next 2 years. And that leadership at times may be challenged by what's ahead. But I want you to remember, as a leader and as a participant in the cause and in the work of God, your Heavenly Father sees you in such a way. You are of great value to Him. With everything that's wrong with you, may I repeat, He does not see any of that as a handicap. God sees opportunity to work. I suppose we all wish that things were a little different. We can all wish for more income. I had someone even tell me recently if they won the lottery, they would pay off the church mortgage. I'm not quite sure if my response was correct, but I said, if you win the lottery, we will take that money. Let's just leave that right there. First Peter 2, verse 9, continues. Says that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You know, there's a great debate about who this is referencing. Not so much within our church, but in Christianity at large. Some say this is only referencing the Jewish people. Some say it's referencing the Gentiles. Some say it's referencing both. And I just simply ask the question, what does it matter? I want to be part of that. I want to be part of that discovery here in 1 Peter 2, 9, in which I come to the place and say, God, thank you for choosing me. Equip me and resource me to do your will. Thank you for calling me into your marvelous light. Yes, we wish things were different, not just with income. Gifts and talents, education, employment. And I'll just stop right there. My simple point is that with everything in our life that we go through, everything, God still loves us. And there are times in our life when God knows His love to us will be more recognizable than at other times. You may pray in your house like I have sometimes. Such a simple prayer. God, I don't know how this is going to work out, but help me. I promise you, In a life of faith, not even knowing what's going to happen, if we believe God answers and hears that prayer, then God does. And He will provide. He will give. He will strengthen you. He will settle you. He will establish you. He will perfect you. I want to tell you a quick story, then I want us to go to this reading that was included in your bulletin today. I try to tell true stories, but like I say, what you get off the internet and some other places, you don't really know if they're true or not, but this is written as a true story. And I got it from a pastor by the name of Rick Ezell. The story is that young man was missing in action in the Vietnam War. Mother and daddy did not know where he was. Finally, they were notified that he had been found and that he was being discharged. They received a phone call from their son. And he said, I'm alive. I'm coming home, but I want to bring a friend with me. And his mother said, good, we just are thrilled that you are alive. Our prayers are answered. Tell me about your friend. He said, my friend has one eye and one arm and one leg. And I want to bring him home with me. The mother says, well, sure. He can stay with us a while. Tell him he can stay at least 6 months with us, and that will help him out. And her son says, no. Mother, I really want my friend to stay with us for a long time. And the mother says, well, you know, son, that's going to put an extra burden on us. And someone with just one eye and one arm and one leg is going to require extended care and expenses. And we're all really busy. I don't know if we should commit ourselves to more than just a few months. Finally, the son says, have you figured it out? Finally, the son says, well, Mama, this is me. I have one eye, one arm, and one leg. And I want to come home. But I don't think I would be welcome. I'm so grateful it doesn't work that way with God. With everything that's wrong with us, He says, I want to embrace you. I want to provide a home in eternity for you. I want to spend time with you. I have chosen you. Will you choose me? I hope you do today. And if you do, God will continue to abundantly bless you. You may be tested, but God will bless you and God will honor you.